as true as e'er was told. In Oxfordshire, a lady fair, the daughter of a worthy knight, a gentleman that lived near, was enamored of this beauty bright. Rosanna was this maiden's name, the flower of fair Oxfordshire. This gentleman a courting came, begging of her to be his dear. Her kind heart to love inclined, young Cupid bending of his bow, and left a fatal dart behind that proved her fatal overthrow. Within a pleasant grove they walked, and valleys where the lambs do play, sweet pleasant tales of love they talked, for to pass the long summer's day. My charming sweet Rose, said he, see how the pleasant flowers spring, the pretty birds on every tree, with melody the groves did ring. I nothing have to please or delight my soul, but those charms of thine, our heart are fixed therefore, my dear. Like turtles, let us both combine. Let me embrace my heart's delight within this pleasant bower here, this bank of violets for my bed, shaded with those roses fair. She said, what do you mean, I pray? I am a noble lady born. What signifies my beauty bright when my honor it is gone? My parents, they will me disdain, and young virgins me deride. Oh, do not prove my overthrow. If you love, stay till I'm your bride. Sweet angel dear, I do vow, by all the power so divine, you are she whom I adore, and in love my heart confine. And if thou dost me refuse, this sword must soon end my woe. Then from her arms he straightway flew, and in his passion his sword drew. Her hands as white as lilies fair, most dreadfully she did ring. She said, my death's approaching near, should I relieve and succor him, it brings on my sad fall. 'Tis I must receive the wound. The crimson dye forsook her cheeks. At his feet she dropped on the ground. This innocent he did betray, full sore against her chaste desire. True love is a celestial flame, but flames of lust a raging fire. But when her senses did revive, he many vows and oaths did make, that he'd forever true remain, and her company not forsake. Now virgins to the second part, observe this sweet creature's end. When once your virtue it is gone, you've nothing you to recommend. After our traitor had his will, he never did come near. The crystal tears did pour. In the silent grove she then did wander quite alone, and for the creature she had lost in the said bower thus would moan. Bird, that I might fly to hide this shame. Oh, foolish made those to believe the base illusion of a man. The harmless lamb could sport and play, the turtle constant to his mate. Nothing more wretched is than I, to buy the man that doth me hate. I will to him a letter send, remembering of the vows he made. Within that shady bar o'er, my tender heart he first betrayed. Her trembling hands a letter wrote, "My dearest dear, what must I do? Alas, what mischief have I done that I am slighted so by you? I have slighted many lords of fame, who little knows my misery. I did forsake a worthy knight, and all for the sake of thee. And now my little infant dear will quickly spread abroad my shame. One word of comfort send to me, ere by thy cruelty I am slain." This answer to her he did send, "Your insolence amazes me, to think that I should marry one with whom before I had been free. Indeed, how not the father be unto the bastard that you Except every day she still would range to lament within that bower. This faithless wretch began to think how noble were her parents dear. She said, I sure shall punished be when they my story come to hear. So then the devil did begin to enter in his wretched mind. Her precious life he then must have, then how to act the thing did find. He many times did watch her out onto the pleasant bower, where one day he did in private go, when he knew she was not there. And privately he dug her grave underneath an oaken tree. Then in the branches he did hide to act this bloody tragedy. Poor harmless soul, she nothing knew, but as usual she went there, and on a bank of violets she in a mournful manner did sit down. Of his unkindness did complain, you gentle God so kind, said she, did you this grave for me prepare? He then descended from the tree. As she the grave did spy, she then arose to view the same. She little thought her lover there. He said, strumpet, thy death is near. Oh, welcome, welcome, she replied, as long as by that hand I die. This is a pleasant marriage bed, I am ready, use your cruelty. But may the heavens bring to light this crime, and let it thus appear, winter or summer, on this grave may this rose be the same, never to wither though it's cropped. But when thy hand I'll touch the same, then may the bloom that moment sees to bring thy crime to shame. More she said, but with his sword he pierced her body through and throat. Her body in the silent grave, saying, now there's end of you. He filled up the grave again with weeds the same did overspread. Then on again. The thing was told the country o'er, and many came this side to see this miracle from heaven shown. Among the rest he must curious be to go and see if it was true. And when unto the place he came, the beauteous rose he saw in bloom, and eagerly he cropped the same. The leaves faded from off the bush, the rose within his hand did die. He said, "It is Rosanna's blood which springs up from her fair body." Many people that were there took notice of what he did say, and said he had a murder done, and the truth he told without delay. They dug and found the body there, the 1st of June it is well known. Before a magistrate he went, and in a prison be doth mourn, till he punishment receives. No doubt but he will have his due. Young men, by this a warning take, keep your vows whate'er you do. For God doth find out many ways such heinous crimes to bring to light. For mercy